When you think of Moses' life, you could think of it this way. He spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God could do with a nobody. That often repeated quote from D.L. Moody pretty much sums up the life of Moses. Now, over these next two study sessions, we're going to observe several different attitudes that are going to get in the way where Moses is going to decline serving the Lord. And along the way, like me, you just might recognize yourself in some of these attitudes. The first attitude hindering Moses' availability to serve God's purposes is an attitude that effectively announces, "I am invincible." We're told in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10 that Moses grew up as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, over in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, we're informed that Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. You need to understand, Egypt was no primitive backwater town. It was the Oxford University of the ancient world. Archaeologists have even discovered that instruction in the wisdom of the Egyptians would have included training in everything from mathematics to chemistry to engineering, science, even the art of war. So as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses was receiving the best education at the highest level possible. And he had every reason to believe, you know, that he could, in fact, deliver his people, the children of Israel, because I guess by now he's smart enough. We also know that Moses never lost the sense of who he really was, where he came from. In fact, here in verse 11, we read, "One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people." Now, Moses knew he truly belonged to the nation Israel. These were his people. He's now 40 years old, and evidently he thinks it's time to fight for a little freedom for his people, because we're told here in verse 12, "He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down that Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Now, the problem is Moses has run ahead of God. It isn't time for God to free Israel, and frankly, Moses isn't ready to lead them. I'll add this, he's 40 years ahead of the will of God. And Pharaoh now discovers what Moses has done, immediately, you know, puts out a price on his head, tries to kill him. Verse 15 tells us that Moses has to run for his life, and he doesn't stop running, by the way, till he reaches the land of Midian, several hundred miles away. Moses thought he was invincible. God isn't going to use him until he's humble and ready to be a servant leader. So Moses settles here in the land of Midian, and he marries a shepherd girl named Zipporah. And what a drastic change, by the way, for Moses. He's come from the palaces of Egypt to the plains of Midian. And here he's going to live the simple life of a shepherd for the next 40 years. We're in chapter 3 now, and Moses is shepherding his flock at the foot of Mount Horeb. That's another name for Mount Sinai. We're going to find that mountain later on in his life. And he suddenly sees a little bush on fire. The only thing is that bush isn't being consumed in the fire. Verse 4 tells us, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." God tells him to take off his sandals because this is holy ground. In other words, this is God's ground. This is God's earth. God tells Moses here in verse 7, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, let me say here, flowing with milk refers to rich pasture land where the herds are going to produce milk like it's a gushing fountain. The land flowing with milk and honey. This isn't bees honey like I'm used to. This is a reference to the sweet nectar of dates from the date palm tree. And that tree, even to this day, is a symbol of Israel's fertile lands. Now, God gives a surprising commission to Moses here in verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I can imagine Moses, he's kind of catching his breath and saying, Lord, I thought you said you were going to deliver your people. I think I just heard you say that I was the one delivering them. How did you turn into me? Moses says here in verse 11, who am I that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Now, earlier Moses thought he was invincible, but now he's pretty certain he's insignificant. In fact, too insignificant for God to use. God doesn't tell him here to build up a self-image. He doesn't tell him, you know, just believe in yourself. No, none of that kind of nonsense. What God does say here in verse 12 is this, I will be with you. See, the truth is, nobody is insignificant. God can use any of us, but only as we remember what Jesus would tell his disciples. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. The promise God gives to Moses here is the same promise he's given to you and me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's a promise you and I are going to need today as we lean on and learn from our Lord. There's still a problem here. There's a third attitude that's going to get in the way of Moses serving the Lord. And it basically says this, Lord, I'm ignorant. Here in chapter 3 and verse 13, Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? In other words, Moses says, I tried to help my people 40 years ago. They didn't appreciate that, and all it got me was exiled. Now I'm supposed to show up 40 years later and say, hey, God sent me. They're not going to believe that. And what if they ask me the most simple of questions like, well, then what's God's name? Moses is saying, I'm not smart enough for this job. I don't even know your name. And the Lord responds by teaching him here in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am comes from the Hebrew verb hayach, which gives us God's name Yahweh, or as it's often written in English, Jehovah or Yehovah. God says, you go tell them my name is Jehovah, the ever-present one, the I am one. I don't just exist in the past. I'm not just over there in the future. I'm the God of the present. I am. Beloved, let me tell you that Satan loves to trap us somewhere in the past or keep us worried about the future so he can distract us from the peace of trusting God in the present. God is the great I am. And he's saying, I am with you right now. So God essentially tells Moses, look, you don't have to know all the answers about tomorrow. I just want you to know me. I want you to follow me today. Forget about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Follow me today. Hey, what's your hope as a mom or dad in parenting? What are you trusting in to help you in your career or your ministry? Are you demanding answers from God, or are you trusting in the presence of God today? Remember, Moses spent 40 years convinced he was somebody, and then 40 years thinking he was a nobody. But now, as the next 40 years of his life begin to unfold, God will begin making somebody out of nobody. And he can do the same for you and me as we walk with him today. Now, Moses, he's got some more objections up his sleeve. We're going to have to cover those in our next study together. Till then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.